The children's, one of the pupils are, you can be dismissed right now. They can go through this side door over here. Follow all those other linoleum lickers. I mean, those children that are going through there. Amen. There's going to be enough of them. Thank y'all. There's a crew. Alas, Lord, there's more of them than there is of us. Had you heard that before? That's a good crew. Take your Bibles and turn to Acts, the very first chapter of the book of Acts, Acts 1. I've got some business to take care of here. I about forgot. Dalen wanted to make a speech, but I told him we didn't have time, so... Dalen, no, he really didn't. Dalen, come up here, buddy. I say your name wrong? Huh? Did I? Dylan. I know your name. It's Mr. Rose. Dylan. I knew that. I had trouble with Dylan's name, and I had this process that I went through to be able to remember it. You know what it was? You know who the star of Gunsmoke was? And I didn't go through that this morning, and so I missed his name. Dylan, we are so glad. We're proud of you, son. Amen. Dylan has accepted the Lord as his Savior, followed the Lord in baptism, and he's... a part of the church, and he's here. He's going to be faithful. You're going to encourage him. Amen. To be faithful. God bless you, buddy. I love you. I knew I did. That didn't sound right. Wasn't Matt Dalen, was it? Let's dig into this. Let's see how deep in the well we can dig this morning and find God's truth and what it means in our own lives. What does this verse mean to you? Now, I preached on this passage last Sunday, and I told you you may disagree with me, and that's okay. Matter of fact, I'll give you some ammunition to disagree with me with before this study in Acts is over. But we have a purpose that God has purposed for us. And I'll tell you this story. We have a nursery if you want to use the nursery, but you don't need to use the nursery unless you want to, okay? When our daughter was about a few days old, our oldest daughter, we went to a church in Jonesboro, and they absolutely tried to pry that girl from her mama's arms, and she wasn't going to have it. And so I've known ever since that... when you offer a nursery, you need to be very tactful about it. Sometimes you can upset the mama, and it upset Gwen that they tried to take that baby from her. And they didn't do it either, by the way. She kept it. Acts 1. Let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word. You probably have this memorized by now, and that's okay. That'd be great, but I think that you're going to hear it enough that you're going to know what this says. But it's not just being able to memorize that verse and be able to even quote it back. But what does it mean to you personally as a Christian? What does it mean to me? And if you have a red letter edition Bible, you know that when Luke was writing this letter that was passed out to the churches, that he's using a quote from the Lord. And so in the red letter edition Bible, that is in red because it's the words of the Lord. Sometimes I wonder, how did they get all that so straight? Well, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. God doesn't he doesn't make any mistakes, does he? Doesn't make any mistakes. So I'm just going to read one verse, and I want you to look at it, and then we're going to dig into it with all we've got. But you shall receive power. Remember what this word power meant? It's dunamis. It is supernatural power. So now, what's that verse, that first word? It says, who? You. You. So is that me? Was that only the disciples? I think that there were some things that the disciples had that we don't have. No doubt. I think that there's a dispensation there. But you shall receive power. What's that next word? After. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come up on you, and you shall be. Not you might be. Not you can decide. It's you shall be. Witnesses. I think that's the main thought of this verse. Witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea. You remember all those places we talked about? Judea, where's your Judea at? Where is your Samaria at? Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Father, thank you and praise you for the day you've given us. We give this into your hands, Lord. Please speak to our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. A few things that the filling of the Spirit brings about in our life. Now, I want to clarify something. Just so that, and whatever you believe about this, this is what I believe. So we'll, if you disagree, that'll be fine. We'll still be buddies when this is all over. That's what I tell couples when we're counseling them for marriage and they're worrying about this deal and this deal going right. I said, it doesn't matter what happens at the wedding. When we get through, you're going to be married. And so we're still going to be buddies when we get through here. Even if you disagree with me, I want to give you a little background here. I want to give you what I believe about the Holy Spirit. And I believe that I can back it up with Scripture. And we're going to be studying this through the book of Acts. There's some passages that I'm pondering on. If you've got some answers, I'm open to it. But Gwen and I were talking about one of these passages this morning. When you get saved, when you ask Jesus to save your soul, come in your heart and be your Savior, you get the Holy Spirit. You get all of Him. You get all of Him. He doesn't, a little bit of Him come. You get all of the Holy Spirit. Now let's understand what the Holy Spirit is. In the triune Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You have to understand that the Bible teaches that each one of the persons of the triune Godhead are persons and personality. And you have to accept it like that. So you don't get a little portion of the Holy Spirit when you get saved. You get all of Him. And I think that what happens in our lives as Christians is that the Holy Spirit does not get all of us. We get all of Him, but we haven't given Him all of us. The Bible says that faith is one step at a time. That we have faith, and then we take this step of faith, and the Lord gives us more faith. I think that the thing about it, that the Holy Spirit does not have all of us. I think that there's things that can be going on in our life that the Holy Spirit would not use us at all. You know, you could put on some kind of show like you're filled with the Holy Spirit, that you're godly, but I want you to know that it has nothing to do with me looking some way or acting some way that would impress you. Matter of fact, it has everything to do different from that. Because the Bible says that when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to brag on Jesus. Amen. And if you do something to brag on yourself, you've shut the Holy Spirit off. He's going to be bragging on Jesus. He's not going to be bragging on what a good band we've got in the church service. He's not going to be bragging on what kind of fantastic building we've got. I think he could care less. He's going to be bragging on Jesus in everything that we do. So, how much of you does the Holy Spirit have? Maybe you don't even want him to have you at all. Maybe if he's going to take me out of my comfort zone, have to take in a bunch of kids, I don't even want the Holy Spirit. Is that a possibility? I want to tell you something, that when the Bible talks about the Comforter, and you all studied some of that in your Sunday school lesson this morning, he's not talking, right, Brother Matt? He's not talking about making you comfortable. Amen. He's talking about the Comforter. And I believe that the Holy Spirit's going to pull us out of our comfort zone and put us in a place where we have to trust God. And I want you to know that I'm getting tired of doing things in my own life that Lanny can do. I'm ready to do something that only God can do. Are you? I mean, really, do something that only God can do in our lives. Okay, let's look at it. What happens when the Holy Spirit begins to take over in our life and in our church? There's a transformed life. Now, no doubt that when someone gets saved, that's a transformed life. But it is your life that the Holy Spirit is in the process of transforming. And it's now, now listen to me, folks. It is not transformed in health and wealth and prosperity. Amen. Oh, okay, Holy Spirit, you take over and you'll make me wealthy. You'll make me healthy. I want to tell you, dear friend, that some of us can do God's business much easier, poor and unhealthy. God might use you sickly. I mean, you think about some of the people in the scripture that God used, and they had all kinds of problems. Think about people in your own life that God has used in your life, and they were poorly, they were sickly, they had trouble in their life, great trouble. I'll hear some preachers preach sometime, and I mean, they set the woods on fire. And then I hear their story, and I think, I'd like to preach like that, but I'm not sure I want to go to that school. Because God uses them. By the way, how you getting along with your broke leg? Really? I mean, really? How you getting along with it? Everybody's got one, hadn't they? How are you getting along with yours? Mine's getting a little better. I don't know about my real broke leg, though. I don't know how I'm doing with my real broke leg. Transformed life, a transformed ministry. We want to go through the motions, or we want to see people's lives changed. We can go through the motions until the Lord comes back, but I'm telling you, dear friend, we can't have a transformed ministry without the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. You can't do not one thing in your life that will bring any honor to God without the Holy Spirit of God in your life. It'll all be wood, hay, and stubble, and it'll all be burned up. You can give all of your money. That's what the scripture says. You can give all your money. I mean, you can open your house up to the poor. You can feed folks on the street corner. You can take your Bible and go out on the street corner and preach. But it won't amount to a hill of beans unless the Holy Spirit of God is the one that is directing you to do that. And he's in you, and he set you on fire. John the Baptist said, I'm baptizing you with water. Are you hearing me today? I'm baptizing you with water. And man, I mean, the Jordan River banks were filled up with people that had come to get baptized. And boy, he preached to them. And he said, I'm baptizing you with water, but there's one coming after me that's going to baptize you with fire. Amen. And I've been studying on that, and I thought, what was he talking about there? What did he talk about that he's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that you're baptized with fire. What is he talking about? I mean, that you act crazy? Here's what the old prophet said. He said, I decided I wouldn't tell people about him anymore. I wouldn't speak his name. I wouldn't tell folks about God. But then he said, there was a fire in my bosom that I could not put out. And I couldn't keep from telling folks. I'm telling you, dear friend, I think that when the Holy Spirit of God gets a hold of us, that we can't keep from telling them about Jesus. And even in Samaria, we can't keep from telling them about Jesus. And in our own home, and among our own family, and in our own state, it's a transformed morality. Now, I said last week, that was not the primary purpose of the Holy Spirit coming, was to transform our morality. Because I can tell you folks that a man can have his morality transformed without the Holy Spirit. You can quit alcohol and drugs and you can live a moral life without Jesus. I mean, there's people that do it. There's people that do it that would absolutely, there's people living moral lives that would absolutely swear up and down that God did not create the universe nor the world, nor them. But when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, he transforms your morality. That means that when you get saved and you turn your life over to him, And this is how I've seen it work in people's lives. I've seen people get saved, and they didn't change overnight. There were some steps to that, and I didn't. I'm telling you, some of my habits hung on. I was ashamed of them. And I prayed about them. And God gave me deliverance from them. But when God gets hold of you, you're not going to continue to live an ungodly life. Sin is not going to be a pleasure in your life. It's going to be a burden. It's going to be something that you despise, that you hate. I've had that thought, but I hate that thought. If I could flip a switch and not have it anymore, I would do it. I despise it. I despise the way I feel. I despise the way that I think. I despise it when those words come out of my mouth that should not come out of my mouth. And you have within you that blows the whistle on you when you sin. And there's no temptation taking you but such as common unto man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape. And the Holy Spirit whistle blows you and says, Lanny, that's sin. You don't need to be thinking that way. You don't need to be saying that. You need to get out of here. Take the door of escape. Jump out the window. Run off. Do whatever you need to do. We don't always do that. I've done it a few times. Look with me at Acts 2 and verse 44. Here's a transformed morality and a transformed ministry and transformed lives. This is what happened in the new church. And all that believed were together, and they had all things common. 45 says, and they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Aren't all those things in there? That's what happens when the Holy Spirit of God gets hold of the church and gets hold of the people. In verse 31 of Acts 4, back up a little bit. Wait a minute. Yeah. Well, I was in 2, wasn't I? 4. Did I tell you 4? I meant 2. If I told you 2, I meant 4. Now here's 4. Look at 31. The cue card person is not here to hold up the cue card. 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. You see it? And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart, of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. And they laid them down at the apostles' feet. Distribution was made to every man according to his need. There's the Holy Spirit working. There's the church when the Holy Spirit is in charge of the people's lives. Did you notice what he said? They had power to witness. You know, in my study of the book of Acts, I can't think of any purpose for the Holy Spirit to indwell us and to fill us if that filling and that indwelling is not going to give us power to witness of the resurrection of Jesus and share what we have with other people. The Holy Spirit of God's going to empower you to get a better job so you can make more money and spend it on yourself, so you can take what you have and gather that around you, and like the man in the Bible said, I got her made. I'm just going to tear down my barn and build bigger barns so I can put away more stuff. God said, you're a fool. I'm going to require your life tomorrow. Snuffed out just like that. Power to witness. Power to share the gospel with other people. Share what we have on our heart. Aren't you ready to get set free to be able to do that? To share what's in your heart with other people so that they would know Christ and so that they would be saved? Everyone that you come in contact with? I walked in the bank one morning and this guy was standing up against the counter and he was talking. Can't imagine anybody being a big talker, but he is a big talker. He is talking. He turned around to me and he said, what kind of vacuum cleaner you got? And at that time, I knew. I ran it a little bit. It was a Kirby. And this guy said, what kind of vacuum cleaner you got? And I said, a Kirby. He said. He said, my grandma had a broom. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. He said, I'll put my vacuum cleaner up against your vacuum cleaner, turn them nose to nose, turn the switches on, and if mine don't suck every bit of the dirt out of yours, I'll give you mine. I said, your own. I never could get him to do exactly what he said he would do, but when he left, we had one of his vacuum cleaners. He was convinced that his was the best. Church, I'm ready for us to be convinced that what we've got's the real thing. And that folks are going to die and go to hell without Jesus in their heart. They're going to spend not a little while there, they're going to spend eternity there. Jesus said that the rich man lifted up his eyes from hell and he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. So he had a memory of what things were like. And he said, I am tormented in these flames. And Abraham said, there's this great gulf that is fixed between you and me. And those that are there can't come here. And those that are here can't go there. He said, well, then send him back to my father's house, because I've got five brothers that are going to come to this awful place of torment. Said, they've got Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Oh, Father Abraham, if one would raise from the dead, they'd listen. He said, not even if one raised from the dead. Because Jesus did. Oh, he wished that he could just take the old prophet's finger and dip it in some water and touch it to his tongue, because he said, I'm tormented in these flames. I'm telling you, church, that we ought to be on fire by the Holy Spirit in such a way that we could not sleep nor eat until we knew that our children knew Jesus as their Savior. That we knew that our grandchildren knew Jesus as their Savior. Until we know that the guy or the gal that's getting gas next to us at the Red X knew Jesus as their Savior. Because I'm telling you, dear friend, they'll die and go to the devil's hell without Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together.